This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Avenger Radio, where we talk all things Avondale FC, coming to you live on FNR. My name is Branson Gibson. I'm joined by FNR's Josh Parrish. Good evening, mate.
Good evening, Branson. Great to be with you once again.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's a pretty chilly night in Melbourne, but nice and warm, tucked away here in the FNR studios, and looking forward to chatting Avondale.
Yes, exactly. We've got a huge show ahead of us tonight. We have a win to talk about this week after our senior men's team snapped their five-game winless streak. Our senior women's team keep on rolling as well as they hit the halfway point of the season. So we'll take a bit of a in-depth look at their year so far and talk about a crucial streak that just happened to come to an end on the weekend. And we have guests galore for tonight's show once again. So we'll be joined by James Riccobene and Philip Riccobene, as well as Ariel Kassar and Jovana Vukovic later on. But before we jump into everything, we would like to say a big thank you to all our sponsors, in particular Underground Cable Systems, Goldfields, Truck Electrics, Elite Management Group, Cedar Hospitality, Sheridan Homes, 3L Alliance, ProBuild, Two Bros Construction, Indeco, and ANZ. But jumping right on into it, we do have a win to talk about this week after spending last week discussing three not so positive results. And in the studio to discuss the crucial result, we are joined by James and Philip Riccobene. Good evening, fellas. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad.
That's good. That's good. How are you guys feeling after the weekend? James, you played, and Phil, you, I think, are nursing a bit of a groin injury. So how are the bodies holding up?
You want to go first?
I'm probably a little bit sorer than you, considering I've played. But no, body's good. Body's been very good, treating me very well this year. So far, so good, touch wood. Yeah. Yourself?
Yeah, I end up straining my hip flexor. It was the Port Melbourne game, and it was just the last sort of passing drill in the warm-up, so I felt it sort of tighten up, and I spoke to the medical staff and spoke to Zoc, and I said, you know, maybe best if I pull the pin and sort of nurse it. And I've gotten the all clear. I actually went and saw the physio today. And they give me the all clear. So, yeah, with a bit of luck, I'll train tomorrow and hopefully be up for it for this weekend.
Back in action against South Melbourne. Excellent news. So taking a look back at the weekend, though, so we were taking on Kingston City. It was a 3-1 win at the Grange Reserve, a huge win, let's be honest, brings to an end, you know, a five-game winless streak. So taking a look at the result, James, how big of a result is it for, you know, our season so far?
Yeah, it's massive. Definitely after the when you look at the past 5 weeks or so, not getting the win. Look, I wouldn't say our football has been like underdone. We've definitely played well over the last 5 weeks. But when you look at the at the end of the day, you look at the scoreboard after the 90 minutes, and that's what you kind of take it by. So when you look at it like that, probably not the greatest 5 weeks, but when you look at the form that we've been in, it's pretty hard to compare over the last probably our first 10 games. So when you've got 10 wins on the board in a row, even if you do get a draw here and there, it's probably looking at it as a bit of a down patch for the club. But that's what happens when you get such a great start to the season. Crucial win, great win by the boys, great character, and fingers crossed we kick on now.
Well, coming into the game, what was the mood like among the players, among the group? Because, I mean, was there a lot of pressure? Were you nervous? Could you sort of like feel it as a playing group, like the anticipation or the expectation to get a result? Did that weigh on you at all?
No. Like I said, the results probably haven't been there the last 5 weeks, but the style that we've been playing and the shift that the boys have been putting in has been second to none. So I think it was just a matter of just keep doing what we've been doing, and the results will obviously follow, and that's exactly what happens on Saturday night. And probably wasn't the best way to start the game, going down 1-0 in the first, I think it was, what, 4 or 5 minutes.
But.
Look, we know what we need to do. We had belief, and it was just a matter of just doing the same things that we've been doing for the last 14, 15 weeks, and just getting that goal. So once we did get that goal, even with 10 men, I think we pretty much dominated the entire game.
And it was a danger game coming into it, I guess, with Kingston desperate to get out of that relegation scrap. They just had a win the week previous, so it would have been pretty buoyed coming into it. What was the message from the coaching staff to, you know, deal with a team that's got that desperation, that edge?
Yeah, Zoc basically said, you know, this game's not going to be an easy one. We haven't had really much joy at Kingston's ground. We've always found it quite difficult to get the points there. But, yeah, the message hasn't really changed, you know, throughout the whole year. Zoc just said, you know, don't underestimate anyone. Especially when you're sort of fighting relegation, you just give it all you got. And it's funny because I remember I was saying to one of the boys at halftime, I thought Zoc was going to just go crazy and sort of have a crack at the boys. And it was the complete opposite. It was really calm. All three coaches were really calm and said, you know, just keep playing. The goals will come. And that's credit to the lads. That's what they did. And, yeah, the result sort of spoke for itself.
We're just sort of jumping back a little bit because, James, you sort of mentioned the fact that Kingston, you know, took the lead so early on in the fifth minute or whatever. What was going through your head when they scored? Because from my perspective at least, you know, on the sidelines, Kingston scored, and then that was sort of followed up by a tough first half where once again, you know, we had a bunch of chances but just couldn't quite get that end result. So, you know, from the sidelines, it kind of felt like here we go again. You know, like, did that come across at all? Or?
I don't think so. Or definitely not for myself or the boys that are around me. I think if you actually watch the replay, I think once they did score, I think it was myself, grabbed the ball straight away and straight back to the halfway line and we go again kind of thing. So, look, it's obviously not nice to cop goals, but it's like if we do what we do best, we know we're going to score 4 or 5 goals a game. So it's just a matter of putting them chances away. And I think straight away, I think in the first 10 minutes after they scored that goal, I think we had 2 good proper chances. I think we hit the bar a couple of minutes later. So it just, look, it's a fine line. And I have no doubt, like, it might be next week, it might be a couple of weeks later, where we're going to put them chances away and it's going to be a 6-7-0 game. It's just one of them things that it needs to happen, and it will. And at the moment, it's just a fine line. Just kind of yes or no kind of thing. So,
well, we sort of got a bit of a hint of that in the second half. Liam Boland scored 3 goals and we ended up, you know, running away 3-1 victors. So what changed in the second half?
I wouldn't say nothing really changed. Like we just keep doing what we've been told to do.
We played better when Scotty got the red card, I think. That's what I said to him after the game.
You probably could say we played better when me and Zinni come off as well. So probably not the best person to ask that question for.
Well, that red card was really weird because it was a jam-packed 8 minutes of action. So Liam Boland scored and then, you know, again from the sidelines you go, great, here we go, we're going to run away with it, we're going to roll over the top of them. And then almost, I think it was within 2 minutes of that, Scotty got red carded again. So, like, as again, from a player's perspective, does that change? Does that sort of kill momentum when you're like, you know, you get that goal, you're like, all right, here we go. And then all of a sudden you're down a man, you've got this big disadvantage going into the rest of the game?
Like Phyllis said, I reckon we started playing a little bit better with 10 men. It's probably harder sometimes with some teams like coming up against 10 men because you work during the week to play against 11 men. So as soon as you go down one, then it kind of like throws a few spanner in the works to say, all right, well, how are we going to set up? And then it might be something like them actually pushing a few more players forward, which is obviously exploits some of the errors, and we're able to get Joy out wide and obviously score an extra 2 goals after that as well. So I think it's one of the things that, we don't really change the way we play. Obviously, if we're chasing the game, we're still going to go for gold, basically. whether we've got 10 men, whether we've got 8 men, we want to win as a team, and that's what we do. We win.
I think this is a theme we've seen from all the first team players we've really chatted to over the last few weeks, of kind of trusting that style and that process. And, you know, football can be a random and cruel game where you create all the chances and you lose 1-0 or you draw, and, you know, the ball doesn't go in the back of the net despite you having the better of the play. And it doesn't seem like there's been too much wrong with the performances over the last few weeks despite the adverse results. So is it just a matter of, you know, keeping the faith?
Yeah, look, we've had chances. Yeah, you can't say that, you know, the last 4 weeks we haven't had chances to actually win the game. And it's not like we haven't been playing bad football at all. We've been playing really well. Mm. You know, it's just one of those things that happen. And the, you know, credit to the coaches. They keep drilling into us, you know, every training session. You just need to be patient, keep doing what you're doing, keep believing in the system, because, you know, it is going to come off. And, you know, it's been so far a really great year. So we just need to keep building up on that. I think the win on Saturday just takes it to another level, especially going down and winning the game as well comfortably. It's, yeah, a lot of positives to take out of the game.
What does that do for momentum heading into the second half of the year?
You could say it's probably the business end of the year now, coming up towards the last 10 games or so. Clubs have a bit of an idea of what you're about. I think at the start of the season, we had maybe 5 or 6 players that we've added in from last year that come pretty much straight into the first 11. So we probably caught a few teams off guard. A lot of teams that didn't really know what we were about, probably didn't realise how good we actually were. And like I said, that proved in the first 10 weeks or so. So we're getting results, not only getting results, but we're actually pretty much battering teams. Second half of the season is always a bit tougher. Teams obviously going to adapt to the way that we play, and from there obviously set up in a certain way to kind of stop and frustrate us as a team. And we just got to obviously work around that, and just kind of work at a style of play that's going to obviously get us the result at the end of the day.
What do you make of the quality in NPL Victoria this season? Because for me, it seems like the teams at the bottom, there seems to be the gap closing a little bit, and any team can upset any other team. And the fact that, you know, Avondale first team has had a few slip-ups over the past few weeks, but you still maintain a four-point lead at the top of the table, considering other teams have sprung upsets on the likes of Heidelberg. It seems to be, you know, you take that at the start of the season as well.
Yeah, look, it's like James said, you know, other teams strengthen that. In hindsight, we're not losing games. Mm. You know, we're still picking up points. And especially this time of the year where the grounds get a little bit more heavier, you know, maybe injuries come into it. At the moment, the squad's still healthy.
Branson's Twitter fingers freeze in the cold. You know, it's always difficult.
I heard he was on the bench live on Twitter. So look, we just need to just keep doing our thing and just keep trusting the process and you know, as long as we keep playing well, we keep picking up points, you know, we are going to have off games. It's just how well do we adapt to it and how well do we respond.
So let's get into, you know, your guys' history as players, obviously as brothers as well. I mean, it's an interesting journey you've both been on in terms of, you know, your past clubs and how you've, you know, reunited it at Avondale.
Yeah, so basically I started off my career at Green Gully. I started off in... my first senior game. Actually, it's funny, my first senior game was at the Calabria Club back in 2004, so quite some time, and now I'm playing for Avondale, and the home ground is Calabria Club, which is nice. So I spent a lot of time at Gully, then I made a move to Altona, where we won it 2 years in a row. After Altona, I then made my way to Hume City, spent a couple of seasons there. From Hume, ended up going to Port Melbourne, where James was. Spent 2 seasons there, and then from there I made the move to Avondale.
So you mentioned that you're at Green Gully and that your first senior game was actually at the Reggio. You were talking before as well that you actually have another sort of Avondale-Green Gully connection, but more so with the people you were playing with when you're at Green Gully. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically the three coaches were teammates of mine. So I broke into the Gully squad when Andy, Jeff and Zoc were players. So you can basically say I did my apprenticeship under those three players.
A little while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Jeff had hair?
Yeah, Jeff had hair back then. And, yeah, so it was quite some time ago. It's sort of funny to adapt because I know them on a personal level as well. But yeah, look, they've blossomed into great coaches, and they've transitioned really well. So it's good to see. They've obviously got a, you know, a great relationship between the three of them. And look, it's nice to have them as coaches because, you know, one, I know I'm on a personal level. Two, you know, they get the best out of me.
And what about growing up together? Obviously, you would have been a bit competitive, I imagine. A lot of games in the backyard, competition between the two of you.
Few broken glasses, a few broken windows. It was funny though. Dad actually started playing AFL, so he was pretty big on AFL. And I think you turned around and said, "I want to try out soccer." And I think Dad didn't really have a bar of it, kind of thing. He was, "All right, well, where do we start now?" And pretty much the rest is history. I pretty much followed his footsteps. So I started off at Green Gully. Because he was there already at the time. He was, I think, just breaking into the first team, and I was under eights, I believe. Funny enough, I was the mascot for the senior team, walking out with, I think, Zocchi a few times, at the captain back then as well. So I started off at Green Gully, then kind of deviated away, went to Altona Magic for a year. From there, I ended up at South Melbourne, spent a year with the reserve team, and then kind of broke into the first team with, I think it was Eddie Krinjevich at the time. Made the move to Hume City, and then I was fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time with the Victory Youth setup. That was obviously a nice little time being full-time. And then from there, going over to Port Melbourne, which pretty much started off my senior career. It was 4 or 5 years there, and then made the move to Avenger Park. Oh, well, it wasn't Avenger Park at the time, to Avondale, down at Doy Street. And yeah, so slowly moving up the ranks, and hopefully a bit of a push for silverware this year, hopefully.
Do you find that like your career paths have sort of almost followed each other at all? Has that sort of had any kind of factor, you know, because you spend some time together and then go on to different clubs, you know, so starting at Green Gully, then you were both at Port Melbourne together, then Phil, you left, and then now you're back together at Avondale. Is there anything behind that, or is that just sort of the way that things happen to fall, or?
Oh, we've obviously deviated in careers and obviously crossed paths along the way as well, but football's a small community, and look, at the end of the day, there's only, 14 teams or in the league, so I'm sure you're going to cross paths with not only him but many players along the way. I see players that I've played with 4 or 5 years ago, and now I'm playing with them now. So it's just, like I said, it's a small community, cross paths with majority of people along the way.
And what attracted you both to Avondale? Obviously, some of the longer serving players there now.
Yeah, basically, 2015 when they got promoted to NPL. I was just about to make a move from Port, and sort of was looking, and had a call from Jeff. And Jeff was obviously a player at the time, and he said, you know, I'm starting a new chapter, because he was at Green Gully for so long, and he decided to make the move to Avondale. And he's like, you know, they've got a great club, great setup there. They've got big ambitions, and, you know, I'm looking at having a crack there. Are you interested? Because he heard that I sort of was making a move. Obviously thought about the whole process and that, and spoke to a few people and sort of asked them what Avondale was about, and, you know, did my homework. And, yeah, I made a decision to go there, and I'm still there now. So very happy.
So you've been at the club for about 5 years now. I think if I've done my quick math correctly, which I might not have, but we'll move on from that one. How much have you seen the club change since you were initially there? So obviously when you first joined, it was our first season in the NPL, so we were sort of, you know, relative minnows at the time. But, you know, how's that transition gone from just wanting to survive in the NPL to sort of being where we are now, which is, you know, NPL top dogs on top of the ladder? So how's that sort of changed?
Look, a lot has changed at the club. Obviously, club personnel. Look, they always had the same ambition. They always wanted to be the best at what they do and really strive for success. So none of those morals have changed. Obviously, you know, we've shied away now from Doyle Street, and in the meantime of finding a ground, we spent a little bit of time at Melbourne Knights. And now finding the Calabria Club, you know, they've really found their feet and they're looking at develop that and making that their fortress, which is great. So, look, the club has come a long way. There's some really great people running the club and, you know, now that they've got themselves some good coaches there and you know, a great playing group, look, it's changed a lot, but it's exciting.
Well, see, let's talk about like the facilities and stuff. So you mentioned Doyle Street, and you mentioned, you know, having to play a couple of seasons at the Knights, or at least one season at the Knights, and now playing back at Avenger Park. How crucial is it to have your own stadium? You know, you're not ground sharing. You've got your own home field advantage. You've got your own locker rooms where you can keep your shoes or whatever. Everything sort of set up with Chris Oldfield's ginormous speaker, all that sort of stuff. Like, does that play a big role, or am I reading too much into that, which I've...
No, I think so, definitely. Look, every team tries to have their home ground as basically as a fortress, and I think that's what we're trying to implement at Avenger Park. So it starts off with having a set ground, your set rooms. Like we said, it is about convenience at the end of the day as well, being able to not bring your boots to every session wherever you go, because you've chopped and changed 3 times in the 1 week. It's good just to have that, obviously, that base there. And it has a really, really good, like, toll on the body as well, with injuries-wise. So your body does adapt to a certain ground. So if you're chopping and changing, your body's always adapting, and that's when, obviously, injuries can occur. So, look, it's always a big benefit having the one ground where your body does adapt to that specific surface. And that obviously plays a big part in a season because, like we said, the best teams usually have a big squad, not just your first 11. It takes a whole 16, 17 players to achieve things. So they're the finer details that obviously play a big part in the success of teams as well.
Take us behind the scenes for the supporters. I mean, who are the big focal people in the dressing room, the leaders? Who are the, you know, people goofing around, the quieter folks sitting in the corner? What is a day-to-day experience like, you know?
Yeah. I don't think there's a quiet one in that room, to be honest.
No, I don't think so either. Everyone's quite up and about. And it's funny, you know, boys are getting there, you know, 2 hours before game day, or, you know, an hour and a half before training, which is quite unheard of. Like, I've been around the league for quite some time and I've been at, you know, involved at you know, a few clubs now. I've seen a few players, and this is probably by far the best change room I've ever been a part of. Like I said, game day boys are getting there 2 hours, 2.5 hours before the game, just because they're excited purely to get amongst it, get up and about for the game. And training's the same. Like, you're talking about Lundy and Steph Valentini. Obviously, you had them in last week, so you know what kind of pair them two are. You know, we've got great leaders, you know, Oldie, Limo, good sort of young playing group coming through, and you sort of, you know, your average ages, you know, your Zinnies and Yeetays and all that sort of stuff. Look, the group from start to finish is amazing. Even the boys off the bench, everyone's doing, as a collective group, we're doing really well. And yeah, I don't know about yourself, Jimmy, what do you reckon about the change room?
No, like I said, it's definitely probably the best change room that I've seen. Probably haven't been around as long as you, but definitely seen a few change rooms in my time. In saying that, the boys are outstanding, second to none. Just the banter that goes through the group is obviously, yeah, some good comments gets thrown about. The boys are good fun.
So is there a particular thing that you can put your finger on that makes that the group so tight? You know, is it one thing, or is it Oldfield's music? I mean, like, what?
That definitely plays a part. But I think it starts from the top. So from your coaching staff, even from the committee, like, it's look, we're obviously a successful club, but it's a small little tight knit of a club, bit of a family based club. So everyone's really, really tight within the whole club. So on the field, off the field as well. And that obviously extends down to the coaching staff. So you've got 3 coaches there that obviously spent a bit of time playing together throughout their careers, so that even from there, so you've got a tight coaching knit there. And that extends all the way down to the boys. So I think, yeah, starting from the top, it's just a real close knit as a whole, basically.
And the coaches know basically what it takes to win. You know, they've all won something in the past, and they know what type of, you know, culture they need. And obviously they go out and sort of, you know, assign players based on that. So, like James said, it does start from the top and it works its way down.
I was going to say, I was at the Preston game, the FA Cup game, pre-kickoff, doing some commentary, and it seemed to be a pretty boisterous dressing room beneath us, music thumping pretty loudly.
It was, yeah. Definitely gets the boys up and about, especially after the game when we get a good win.
I don't know what's better, before or after the game.
Well, going into this next game against South Melbourne, you know, a team that's found some form in the last few weeks in particular, you know, what are you focusing on going into the next round?
Yeah, look, South are picking up points, you know, the last couple of weeks. You know, they're definitely coming up and about. Look, we get a lot of joy at South Melbourne's ground. We have, you know, from the last couple of years. Yeah, look, nothing changes. We just work a little bit harder and a little bit smarter. And obviously the coaches will probably have a game plan as to how they want to tackle, you know, Sunday's game. And they just keep, we just keep doing what we're doing. We just keep working hard. You know, like I said, last Saturday against Kingston was good to take it to the next level. But for me, nothing really changes. I'm hoping with a bit of luck, you know, I train well on Wednesday and recover well on Thursday and get up and about for Friday's session. And I'll put my hand up, you know, hoping that I'm available for Sunday. And for James, it's, you know, as business as per usual.
Yeah, look, I think the main focus for us is just focusing on ourselves and doing, make sure we're doing the right things as a team. And I think, look, if we take care of that, then, look, we shouldn't have any problems on the park. Like we said, over the last couple of weeks, maybe we haven't been picking up points, but the football's still been outstanding. The style that we've been playing, we've created a new abundance of chances. It's been, like I said, it's been a fine line, and obviously against Kingston we put them chances away, obviously a few of very many, and we're hoping to do the same thing against South Melbourne on Sunday.
What lessons can we take away from that 5-game winless streak and put forward, not just at the South Melbourne game, but for the rest of the second half of the year?
Just take every game as it comes, basically. Everyone's out there to kind of, we're basically the hunted at the moment. Everyone's out there to get us. So every team's going to put that extra 5-10% just because they're coming up against Avondale. So I think we need to realise that, and obviously give that little bit extra as well. And like I said, it's just taking them chances that we do create. And if we do that, I don't think we should have any problems.
Should be a fantastic game on Sunday. It's always an occasion at Lakeside, 4 p.m. kickoff. You got another thing to say, Branson?
I do. I just have another question, because you mentioned, you know, this year that we're the hunted. So how much of a difference does it make being the hunted this time as opposed to at this stage last year? I think we were third, and, you know, we were chasing Bentley, we were chasing Heidelberg. The year before that, you know, same sort of thing, trying to push to try to catch those top teams. How much of a difference does it make this year being on top? Is it a different challenge? Is there more pressure psychologically? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, everyone wants to go undefeated in the league, and I think the time that we did lose against Bentley probably took a bit of pressure off us, because we then weren't the team that was undefeated. But in saying that, I think it's always good being on top. You don't want to be anywhere else but on top. And you just need to just keep working hard. In the end, you know, hard work pays off. And we've got a talented group, and the coaches keep us well in form and well in, you know, they make sure we don't get ahead of ourselves. And, you know, we're not cocky about the way we approach, you know, the game day and all that. All the boys turn up, like I said, at training. They're there an hour and a half before training. And everyone puts in 110%. And even after training, you know, some of the boys are doing a little extras. So it's just about being disciplined and just working hard to, you know, obviously achieve what we all want to achieve at the end of the day, and that's getting the silverware.
Well, I think that just about covers it. Phil, James, thank you so much for coming into the FNR studios and chatting to us today on Avenger Radio. Fingers crossed you'll be fit for the weekend's game, Phil, and just keep the good times rolling.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks
you for
guys.
Having us.
All right, we've got plenty more still to come, though, on Avenger Radio. Who's coming up after the break, Ranson?
Well, after the break, we're going to have a in-depth look at our senior women's team. I think they're just about at the halfway point of their season, so we'll be joined by Ariel Kassa and Jovana Vukovic in the studio.
Don't go anywhere.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Avenger Radio. My name is Branson. I'm here with Josh talking all things Avondale FC. Josh, our juniors were in action again last weekend, so we got a couple of junior results to talk about. Our junior boys team were taking on Pasco Vale. Unfortunately, only the 15s were able to come away with a win on the weekend. The 18s lost 5-2, the 16s fell 4-0, the 15s got up 1-0, the 14s had a nil-all draw, and the 13s a 2-0 loss. The junior girls were also in action. The under-9s had a 5-1 loss to Gisborne. The under-10s had a 3-0 win over Spring Hills. The under-12s had a 1-1 draw versus West Point. And the under-14s, who Steph Valentini and Brandon Lundy were talking up last week in their top-of-the-table clash, winner goes outright top, had a 0-0 draw against Hoppers Crossing. So better luck next time for them. And yes, but taking a look now, what we want to do is we want to take a look at our women's team and chat about a hard-fought win on the weekend. But before we dive into the result, we want to take a moment to say thank you to all our women sponsors. So in particular, Architectural Home Designs, Action Industrial Supplies, Brad Teal Real Estate, Perfect Edge Carpentry, Angler's Tavern, and Underground Cable Systems. So Josh, our senior women's team just keep on rolling, claiming yet another victory on the weekend over West Point. And in the studio with us to take a look at the game is Ariel Kassa and Jovana Vukovic. How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Very good. Very good.
Good. Welcome back to the studio. You guys have both been in before, so it's your second time back. So.
Yep. We're pros now.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. Only one of us? Well, you're probably
She's already bullying me.
Well, you probably know what you're doing more so than I do, so that's definitely a big tick. But we've got plenty to talk about tonight, so we're going to have a chat about, obviously, the weekend, an unfortunate thing, the elephant in the room, that we will chat about very shortly. And also, it's just about the halfway point of the season, so we'll do a bit of a mid-season review, take a look at how the club's going, how the team's going, and do a little bit of a preview of the second half. But sort of first thing first, jumping into it, it was a 6-2 win on the weekend. But, you know, the elephant in the room is when we read out the result, the fact that we scored 6, but West Point scored 2. So that is the first time that we've conceded a goal this year, and we actually conceded 2. So tell us a bit about the game and obviously about those 2 goals in particular.
Well, by halftime, it was actually 2-2.
Yep.
Which was really a stressful time for us.
So we went up 2-0, up 2-0 initially,
so
right?
I'm pretty sure
here's how it happened. Let me tell you. All right. So yeah, we scored 2 goals just in open play. You know, we were just
2
pretty
proper goals.
Yeah, we were dominating.
Did you get some assists on that?
She assisted also.
I actually got 7 assists.
Wow.
In this game.
Oh, did you? Oh, hang on. I think I know where we're going with this. Yep.
So yeah, basically we were 2-0 up. The ref
gave them
a couple of dubious calls, but so they got a penalty, handball in the box. Stepped up to take the penalty. Tried to do a little bit of a red mane, the old wiggles, but didn't work. They scored. That was the first goal that we conceded, thankfully, because the second goal was an absolute shocker that I let through. just a bit of a, it was just a simple back pass to me, and I just fresh aired it.
Yeah, it just I'll never let you live that down.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't gotten more stick from the girls about it. I'm usually giving them a lot for the goals that they miss. I was pretty angry at halftime because it happened just before halftime, and then to go into the change rooms 2-2 at halftime, it was deflating for me. But as a team, you know, I think we all responded like in the best possible way, obviously, to, you know, and then go out and score another four goals. And obviously for me to assist another four goals.
She definitely made up for the mistake. Yes, assisting. So. But like at halftime, even though we were all really shocked by the fact that that mistake had happened and you were obviously a bit upset. And
throw the penalty on top of that as well.
Yeah, which
you know,
just
a bit of bad luck in there.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, hadn't conceded all year and then it's like a penalty and we're like, oh, damn. And I kind of thought in my head, you know, what if we just get really disappointed and then we don't come back second half? Like, I was a bit worried, but we just got out there and just smashed another four goals and we're like, yep.
Yeah, I guess it's been the whole sort of season, week on week, it's sort of been building, you know, wondering how we're going to respond, you know, when we do concede. And I guess conceding from penalty is not such a, like, as a goalkeeper, like, that's, you know, the only time I consider it to not be my fault. I'm pretty harsh on myself. But, you know, to then concede the way I did for the second goal, it was, you know, so deflating for me. But, yeah, just the girls just got around me and up to their absolute credit.
Yeah, everyone was really supportive, like,
yeah,
I think we just thought, you know what, we all make mistakes, but it's not going to cost us the game, the whole game. So we made sure it didn't.
So what actually changed at halftime? Was it just a mentality shift? Was it a tactical tweak? Was it a combination of things?
I think that we just had the right atmosphere going. Like, all of us were just being really positive. I think I remember in the change rooms talking at halftime, instead of, I feel like other clubs I've been at or, you know, the way other people would approach it is like they'd be like really harsh on Ariel or something, or they'd be like, oh, you're all doing something wrong. But instead we're all sitting in the change rooms just going, come on, girls, like, let's stay positive. And I think we just, because we stayed positive, we just went out there and, like, second half we were like, we have plenty of time to make sure that we don't actually lose. Like, so what, we conceded. Like, it's brilliant that we didn't concede for this long, but we've got to be realistic. Like, we're not robots.
Well, it's still very impressive, you know, making it through eight games without
and
having
still
conceded.
Still being undefeated is, you know, unbelievable to...
And that's what's really important. So, you know, we conceded two goals, but we weren't just going to be like, nah, this is over. Like, we're going to win.
So overall then, were you happy with the performance? From this particular game, or
personally, I'm not. I'm never happy. Like, if I concede one goal, I'm just, you know, not in a good mood till you know the following week when I get to. I guess
she did some great saves. I'm just gonna say it because she won't say it because she's bad. She should be happy.
But yeah, look, I'm so happy with how the team performed. I, you know, couldn't say anything more about the team performance. And I think at halftime, you know, there were a few tactical changes that, you know, Sean tried to, you know, get into us in terms of how we should play with the ref, because he was calling a lot of free kicks. It was sort of stop and start. And I don't know whether that had anything to do with the new handball rule that's being brought in. But, I think that's it.
It seems to be news to Branson.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the new handball rule?
Like, it's just, it's a bit of I guess trying to clarify it.
Seems to have made it more confusing.
Is it getting rid of the ball to hand thing, to ball?
Not quite. I'm not actually confident that it is currently. I think it's supposed to be implemented next season, but maybe the referees have seen it.
I think it was from June 1. I think it was actually supposed to be.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I'm the only one in the state league that knows about it. I'd like to keep up to date with the rules.
I don't know if anyone really understands what handball is anymore. It's just been.
I definitely don't. Not after that game, but.
Yeah.
Well, at least you play the one position where you can use your hand, so you don't have to worry about it too much. So that's a bonus. So, just one more question about the result. Do you think that was the toughest game we've played so far?
For me personally, I thought at the end of the game I was like, wow, that was definitely our toughest game, but it just, when, like, the way we celebrated afterwards was, like, because it was such a tough game, because the other team was really physical and it was just really intense. We were just so, like, we were over the moon about the result and how we came back in the second half, because it was so tough, the whole 90 minutes. Like, yeah, it was a really intense game. I think everyone would agree. But I think it made everyone play really great too. Like, some of the girls were just on fire. It was, amazing to watch. So, very good game.
So, were you expecting that level of physicality? I mean, we kind of talked it up as a bit of a grudge match beforehand.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect it to be that bad, but it was definitely a very physical game, and you just had to not let those things get to you. I think we just played our game and we were like, no, we shouldn't stoop to the other team's level, just play the way we play. And I think we're starting to gel together really well now. So, like, with each game, we're playing better and better. So, yeah, I was pretty happy with it.
Well, the result brings us to the halfway point of the season, and so far it's been a pretty darn good season despite that streak coming to an end. So taking a look at it, we sit on top of the table, we've got eight wins from all eight games mm-hmm. that we've played so far this season.
Yep.
We've got a whopping 55 goals for and only two goals against. We sit 6 points clear of Kyneton District in second place. I mean, could the start of the season go on any better than it has?
I don't think it. It's pretty hard to beat that. I think, the only thing we could have done was score more goals, but.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing that it's, 55 goals, like you said, because there was, it was a bit harder at the start of the season, because we weren't gelling together probably as well as we are now to put those goals away. We could have probably scored a bit, a few more. Yeah. There was, a few games that were, 1-0, 2-0, and now it's starting to get really, it's, 13-0 and stuff. So there could have been more. Could have been 70 goals.
Well, I mean, with an entirely new team, you can't expect to hit the ground, completely full pelt.
Personally, I thought we were gelling from the start, but so I think, moving forward, obviously it's going to be hard to, because personally, I always look at, what the first half round results have been.
Mm.
And then I obviously, personally, I try to beat those results in the second half moving forward. Yep. So, I don't know how I'm going to, what do I have to just keep a clean sheet for the remainder of the season? I'm not sure, but maybe a few more assists, I guess.
That assist tally is going to be right up there now. But, what is it, 55 goals scored, 56 assists now?
Yeah, 57 assists if we're counting that shocker on the weekend. Yeah.
So what do you reckon the biggest positive has been so far this season? Taking a look at, all the games on a whole, what's been the biggest takeaway from it?
In terms of my biggest positive, it's not necessarily something on the pitch, it's off the pitch. And it's, on Sunday after our game, we actually had a whole movie session with the junior girls as well, some of the junior girl parents. And it was just
celebrated.
It was just so fun. It was a bit of a dodgy movie, but it was so fun just chilling with the junior girls. And I think that's, one of the biggest positives for me, just having that environment where we can, where we have, young girls looking at us as if we're role models. And to me, that's something that's just next level. I mean, I never thought that I would be a role model on the pitch or off the pitch, kind of for anyone. But here I am.
And
I've got girls coming up to me, high-fiving me, that kind of thing. So to me, that's by far my biggest positive of this season.
Yeah. I think for me, it's definitely just the environment. Like I said, other clubs I've been at, it was always just missing that kind of, I didn't feel like I was on the same page with the girls, but it just feels like we're all equally dedicated and we're all just so happy every time we win, and it's just really, there's just a good vibe going, and I love that. So
talking about, your time at other clubs a little bit, how does Avondale differentiate to where you've played previously?
Just the, effort and commitment that the club shows to our team, with everything. I just feel like the promises that are made, everyone actually follows through with it. And even with, the girls, attendance at training, other clubs I've been at, it's like by the middle of the season, by this time of the season, it would always be like dropping off, or like training's boring now, or like no one goes, like the coach would stop caring or something. But this is very much like the coach cares 100%. The girls are always there. Everyone wants to win like equally. So it's just really nice to see. I think that's what makes it unique.
I mean, we were talking about club culture a bit with, you know, James and Phil, who were in here before. I mean, what is that culture like in team? Because from what you're saying, it seems like that was pretty crucial in, you know, turning it around at halftime on the weekend.
Yeah, I'd say it was a big part.
Absolutely. I think, you know, having a coach that sort of respects us, you know, and just tries to
trust us.
Yeah, he trusts us to turn it around, you know. He gives us feedback when needed, but above that, you know, it goes right up through the board. You know, we know that the board and the committee, they've all got our backs. And that's, you know, I guess we've all met all of the board members, all the committee members, and I guess at other clubs, you never necessarily had that. So, yeah, I think it's a big difference coming into Avondale for sure.
What about the connection between the senior women's team and the junior girls team? Tell us a little bit about that, because you mentioned that you've had, what was it, a movie night? What movie did you watch?
Very cute movie night.
It was good, it was good. It was Back of the Net. I think it's an Aussie movie, I guess.
Bit of a... It was one of those,
I don't know if I've seen that one, I'm not too sure.
I think it's just come out at the movies, or maybe straight to video. I don't know.
You're so mean. No, it was just like one of those cute little, like, very teenage sort of...
I don't think it was... I think it's pre-teens, really.
It was 12-ish, definitely. Right,
okay, but, you know, so there's, the you know, that sort of cute function, and, you know...
Yeah, like we're all together having a laugh, you know, and then...
Yeah, and I mean, look, even this weekend... obviously, we've got a bye this weekend, but we're hoping to, because obviously a lot of the weekends we do get around to the men's game, but we're hoping, I guess, a few of us can get around to the junior games, which is something, obviously, having our games on the Sunday as well as the junior girls, we haven't managed to do much. So that's definitely something we want to do, because we do see the little ones pop up here and there at our games, which is always good. You know, they're always cheering and clapping. So I do try to keep my cool during the games because of them, but
Well, you mentioned the junior girls games, and you mentioned the fact that you guys have a bye. So what are you going to get up to this weekend? Try to get to some of those junior games? Any other crazy plans? Or?
Well, not with you. We hang out with the other... No.
Joe's actually... tell them what you're doing.
But, oh, I'm going overseas. So I'll be leaving
just for the
Sunday
weekend? Or?
No. I'm going to Europe. So I'll be gone for 2 months.
Wow.
I'm staying, though. Don't worry about that.
All the more reason I gave it everything I had on the last game, because I knew it was my last game, and it's going to be a shame to miss. I think I'll be missing like 6 games, and then I'll be back for the end. You know, the
back
exciting part.
Well, so just take...
I'm missing that.
So taking a look at the weekend, obviously you guys have a bye, but the girls' teams are in action. The under-9s are taking on Point Cook. The under-10s will be taking on Williamstown. The 12s will be taking on the Melton Phoenix, and the 14s taking on Keilor Park.
So just before we get into our look ahead to the men's game... do you have any advice for the Matildas? Because, you know, they're struggling a little bit and you guys have been in great form. I mean...
You can take the reins. I know you're bursting to say something.
after the movie night, we actually hung back and we watched the Matildas game. I'm a huge Matildas fan. You know, I've watched a lot of games. Tried to avoid Twitter for the last couple of days.
She had a
meltdown.
Like, this was like 100-something bucks. And I was like, great.
So embarrassing me. So, yeah, look...
Well, it's a tough
pass it to Kerr. That's my thing.
A tough loss, you know, in particularly conceding that goal right at the end. You know, it was a clumsy free kick to give away. And I'm not convinced it was a free kick.
No, it wasn't a free kick. But we got one ridiculous one up the other end 1 minute beforehand. So I can't really complain.
I actually saw it was a 95th minute winner, which coincidentally was the same minute as the 2006 penalty
against Italy.
Oh, sorry. Australia versus Italy. Yeah.
Oh. So, it was a repeat. She did the same celebration as well. It was just, she did the Francesco Totti.
It was brutal.
I hadn't noticed that, so I'm now dying inside lies.
This is why you should avoid Twitter.
That's great.
Well, it's still two more group games to go, so fingers crossed they get a result against Brazil. And congratulations on a fantastic first half of the season to date. Enjoy your bye weekend and best of luck for the rest of the campaign.
Thanks, lads. Thank you.
So the men's team predictions for Sunday taking on South Melbourne at Lakeside.
Yep, Sunday, I reckon, well, it's going to be a bit of a tough game. I mean, you mentioned how South Melbourne have been doing, bit of a resurgence. I am going for, I'm going to say 2-1 win. I reckon we'll win 2-1 my prediction.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say 3-1 win for Avondale, but I think you just got to shut down that Jerry Salados. He's been in great form, so maybe man mark him or something.
Well, and Peter Skopidis, you know, came across on the weekend.
Good signing.
But what did Jimmy say before? He said before that the boys were due for a 6-0, 7-0. So you never know. That might get a roll out on the weekend.
Somebody is going to cop one in the next few weeks. I don't know if it will be South or one of the teams down the line. But they're creating a lot of chances. It's just about putting those chances in the back of the net.
Yeah. And just one last mention as well. Our junior boys team also have a bye this week. So bye for the junior boys, bye for the women's team. But the men's team and the junior girls teams are all in action as well.
Branson, thank you for your company tonight, and thank you to all of our guests who have made it all the way into the studio. Well, we'll be back at the same time next week on Avenger Radio. But from me, Josh Parrish, and Branson Gibson here, it is goodbye for now.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.